Well, we've been wrestling through a question, asking the greatest question ever. And here's the question. Help me with it. Is this a thing to do? Fill in a blank, whatever it is. Going to the store, going to the movies, dating that person, taking this job. Fill in the blank. Is this a wise thing to do? And we have been wrestling through that. And one of the things we have been doing as we've been walking through that is we have been using some chairs to help us think through those things. And so we have, first of all, the chair of the mocker. We have the chair of the fool. We have the chair of the naive. And then we have the chair of the wise. And we have been walking through these chairs and looking at these chairs. Today, we're not going to look at the chair of the naive person. A reminder, all of us at different times are naive. All of us at different times find ourselves uninformed, not aware, and kind of wrestling with what should we do and really not having a whole lot of information. But we don't usually stay very long in a naive chair because we get educated, we get informed, and soon we are either landing in the chair of the fool or we are landing in the chair of the wise. But we're going to pull this one out today because we're not going to use that one. Over here, we're not going to use this chair a whole lot either, but the mocker is the one who really kind of gives it to people and ridicules and pokes at people because they are doing the right thing. But we're not going to focus on that chair today a whole lot either, because I don't think there's a bunch of us in here that are mockers. And in fact, I don't think any of us in here are probably mockers. But that's a chair that people do land in. But there are two chairs today that I want to focus in on. And I want to focus in on a chair of the wise and the chair of the person that's being foolish. Because for I think most of us here, if not all of us here, these are the two chairs we're going to find the greatest amount of tension wrestling with. These two chairs. And figuring out which one we're going to sit in and trying to figure out which one we're going to land in. Now again, I just want to remind you that the goal of our time as we walk through this series, or as we process through this series, the goal for me and for I hope for you as well, is that we can kind of start to move forward from this point in time, wrestling through life decisions and being grateful and not regretful for the choices and decisions we make. I'm going to move this out of the way. So I'm going to try to be wise so as the music team comes back up later, I don't create obstacles for them to travel around. But the goal is for us to be able to move forward from this point and be able to look in the rear view mirror of our lives and not have regret and not say, man, I wish I had done it differently. And so really learning then to wrestle between the tensions and the issues and seeking to be wise. Now again, as we have walked this journey, we have a key verse that we have been walking through, and it's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. It says, therefore be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Continuing on, for this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise, by understanding what the Lord's will. And again, as we've talked about this, we discover God's will by looking at His Word, spending time in His Word. But we live in a world where we have real tension, incredible tension, about whether we're going to walk down the foolish path or the wise path. And there's incredible peer pressure to take this path. Incredible. But we live in that tension. And so we have the option. We can choose to be wise, or we can be foolish. Now we're going to watch a video today. We're not there yet, but there's some things I want to lay the groundwork for, and I want you to kind of think through it. We're going to watch a video today that was put out by the Billy Graham Organization, and I think it fits perfectly with what we're talking about today, so we're going to use that today. But if you look in your notes, there's a few things that I want us to walk through here. And so we lay the groundwork for what's coming. First of all, number one, when it comes to temptation and decision making, we are all prone to look for loopholes. those little escape hatches so that we can kind of really do what we want. Do you ever wrestle with decisions, wrestle with choices you're trying to make, and you know the right thing you should do, but this battle is kind of going on the inside? You know the right thing you should do, but do you really want to do something else? And you're kind of looking for a loophole to justify and make pursuing what you want to do okay? We all look for loopholes. If you look in your notes, one of the key ways that we look for this is we play this little word game. And we play this game versus right versus wrong game. And we look at things that we want to do and says, well, it's not wrong. I really want that piece of cheesecake. I really like that piece of cheesecake. It is calling my name. It's not wrong. And so we play the right versus wrong game. The game we need to play is not right versus wrong, but rather is it wise versus foolish? Because we say oftentimes, well, it's not wrong. And we kind of whisper little lies in our ears, telling ourselves it's not wrong, but we are setting ourselves up down the wrong path. So don't be looking for loopholes, things to justify the decisions you want to make. Number two, in moral decisions, this loophole conversation is significant. And in areas of sexual expression, we can be significantly prone to self-deception. Now, I have this on the notes, and I put it here. You know, now maybe you hear this more with guys than with girls. I don't have as many of these kinds of conversations with girls, but we'll have these conversations with guys. So here we go. Bunch of guys are sitting someplace having a conversation, and a very attractive young lady walks into the room. By the way, most guys are going to notice if a very attractive lady walks in the room, just normal. But one of the guys start to, ooh. And gives her a little bit more attention, really, than he should be giving her. And so someone in the group says, dude, what are you doing? Knock it out. And she says, listen. Yeah. I know I already made my selection off the menu, but there's nothing wrong with still looking at the menu. You ever heard that one before? Slap him, he's an idiot. See, this is self-deception. These are little games that we play. You know what the problem is continuing to look at the menu when you've already made a selection? You're kind of saying to yourself, maybe I want to get something else instead. Or maybe I want to get something in addition to. No. But we tell these little lies. We say these stupid little things that are actually lies and deceptive. And it's self-deceptive. And this is how it works. We come up with these little things that we think are okay when they're not okay. It's just not okay. Number three. Bad moral decisions are often preceded by a series of unwise decisions. Do you understand that? Usually people that have major moral failure, they don't start out by ripping someone off for $10,000. That's not normally where it starts. They take a dollar here, they take $5 there, they take $20 there. Now, I was in a church where we had a financial person steal $10,000 from the church. But that's not where it started. It's not where it started. It started with little lies, little secrets, little sketchy kind of behavior, where they knew that they were kind of walking the line, but they could get away with it just kind of walking that line. But then they went over the line. You ever watch someone walking on a tightrope? You ever just put up a 2x4 in the backyard and decide if you can walk across it? First, you kind of put it the wide way, right? You put a wide way down that three and a, it's supposed to be 2x4, but it's not because it's milled down, so it's like 3 3/4. Okay, so you walk across that part. And it's kind of easy, and so then you turn it up on its end. But so now it's supposed, again, it's been milled, so now it's 1 3/4 instead of 2. And you say, can I try this one? You know, it's not as easy to walk on that narrow part. And if you're like me, don't even try. When we were in California this summer, we were having fun just kind of letting the boys see different parts of California. And we went down to, I forget the beach, one of the famous, Santa Monica. We were down near the Santa Monica Pier. And we're walking along the beach. And again, if you enjoy watching people and seeing people and just seeing stupidness on display, you go out to California, walk along Santa Monica Pier or some other areas, you just get to see stupidness and weirdness on display. And there's parts of it that are kind of entertaining. Other parts, you just kind of shake your head. But one of the things that they would do is they would have people setting up these strings. And they're about this wide, but they're like, well, if you get a strap and you kind of ratchet it up tight, that's what they were doing. And they would get up and start to walk on it. And invariably, I'm not seeing many people that make it from one point to the next. They fall. Well, when we make unwise decisions, it's kind of like walking and living on that tightrope. It's not easy. And it's not long. But for we are falling off. But the falling off is different than walking on that 2x4 in the backyard. Or it's different like walking that strap that someone set up down at the Santa Monica Boardwalk. You fall a little bit off, you dust yourself off, and you get... So oftentimes when people fall for moral decisions, major moral decisions, the fall is hard. It's major. The person who stole $10,000 from the church ended up spending time in prison. Husband divorced her. Life went in a tailspin. It's not always an easy rebound. Now, is there recovery? Can we rebound? Yes. But we often don't rebound without consequences, and sometimes the consequences are pretty significant. So bad moral decisions are often preceded by a series of unwise decisions. Now, we've talked about this one before too, but we are wired to see how close we can get to the line without ever going over it. Now, a number of you people have commented to me as you watch me speak and talk, and they've said to me, says, Pastor, you do the same thing that I've seen a bunch of other pastors do. And I'm doing it right now. I'll come up and I'll stand here and I'll often stand at the edge of the stage and my toes will be right there, or I'll be right on the edge of the stage, and you're not even looking. I don't know. Any and everywhere, wherever I've spoken, and I have a stage, I'm kind of like, why? Because we want to kind of get close to everybody. We don't want, I want to talk way back here. You know, this is like weird. Okay, so you're inclined to kind of talk up front and talk everybody up front, and you get to this point and they say, well, but you know, you get right up to the edge. And we live life like that sometimes. We say, well, you're not living life to the full until you're right on the edge. So that, man, if you kind of skid out and you go, it's wonderful. No. They're peeling you off a bunch of bricks down below. But we are wired and inclined to live right to the edge. Why? Because there's a sinfulness that wrestles within us. A disobedience that wrestles within us. And we live our lives often with this arm wrestling match going on between ourselves and God. The smartest thing. Now again, I'm going to come back to this trip that we took to California. So Daniel and I are driving through different parts of Northern California. We went and saw Glacier National Park. And we're driving down some roads that are a drop. Now, when you're driving down the road, and you have this road. Now it's a scenic byway. But if you're a little bit like me, you're saying to yourself, why couldn't you have put that further from the edge? Did you need to put this road right on the edge of the cliff? Could you have given us like a little bit of room? Like we have a mile width of space here. Couldn't you have like had pull-offs over there and like put me at least 20 feet into off the edge? Why do you have to like put me 3 feet from the edge of the road? I don't like heights. I just don't. I'm not one of those, you know, I will be sitting back in a scenic overlook and I'll watch people do what I'm doing here and they'll go right up here and I'm back here. I'm back over here. Truly, truly, literally. I'm back over here going, I'm good. I can see fine. And I'm watching that person right up there and my knees are shaking because of them. I don't have a clue who they are. And my knees are shaking because they're sitting right on the edge. And we live life like that sometimes, going right to the edge. Thinking, this is living. No, you're like a mistake. Not even a mistake, a slip away from oblivion. But we have a tendency to live life right to the edge. I'm going to take my credit limit right to the edge. I'm going to take my relationships right to the edge. I'm going to live my life without a margin for error so that, because, oh yeah, I love living without a margin for error. So if I make a mistake, I'm toast. That's nuts. But we have a tendency to live as close to the line as possible. And it'll destroy us. It's just not wise. It's really foolish. Yeah, Daniel and I were driving, and there were some spots where we were driving. Daniel and I were talking to each other. I said, you know, we could drive off the road, and they wouldn't find us for 100 years, if at all. And there's like no cell service. So like we spent this time driving across the country down the line. We spent most of the time without cell service. And literally, as I told you before, we would drive off of the cell phone map. I would have my dot. Says, you're here. I don't know anything that's around you, but you're right there. Drove off of the memory of the phone. So they didn't even have a GPS to find me. His last known location, oh, it was 20 miles ago. Go drive. It's kind of fun. Number five. God says flee. Don't flirt. God says flee. Don't flirt. When we read about Joseph in the Old Testament, and when Potiphar's wife said, hey, Joseph, come here. And she put her hands on him and he beat feet, left his jacket in her hands because she was trying to grab a hold of him. And what's interesting is we read about Joseph in the Old Testament, he is commended for running. And I would suggest to you that Joseph's story wouldn't have been in the Bible if he decided to stay and see what would happen next. He is commended for running. God says flee. Don't flirt. There's a verse here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin a person commits is outside of the body. But the immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body. Think of a lot of the things that we do. Problems with eating affects our body. Sexual morality affects our body. People have issues with alcohol and drugs. It affects our bodies. These are some of the biggies that we wrestle with in our culture. Those aren't things that kind of float out there and have an effect out there somewhere. They come really close and are very personal and have very personal, significant impacts and effects when we flee or when we play with moral sin. It gets real close. Now, there's a video that I'm going to have us watch. It flows right after this, and I'd like you to process through it. It's going to be focusing in on the lives of four individuals. Four individuals who identified a relationship with Jesus. But as it came to these two chairs, they had options and choices with how they would live. All four individuals, people who knew Jesus, began to chase and to sit in this chair. And it kind of talks about their stories. And it flows from the very things that we're talking about today and the foundation that we're laying. So let's watch this and then we'll wrap up. So we have an option as we walk through the journey of life. We have, in particular for us, two chairs from which we have a choice to choose. We can look at life choices and we can look at life decisions. We can choose a chair of the fool and allow that chair to really sidetrack our life. And it will destroy us. It will destroy us. Or we have a choice to say, okay, God, I want to pursue your agenda. I want to pursue your path. We can choose the path of wisdom. You know, in this whole journey, this is not really about a question of, as we started out with, is it right or is it wrong? It's really a question of, is it wise or is it foolish? How about a high school sweetheart? You haven't heard from them in years and you got a friend request. It's been 20 years ago. 15 years ago, 10 years ago. You didn't tell your spouse, but you said, sure, I'll friend them, and you check out their journey online. Now, is that inherently wrong? Is it inherently wrong? No, it's not inherently wrong. But is it foolish or wise? It's really foolish. You can put in capital words, letters above it, stupid. Right? It's just a really dumb thing to do. It's just not wise. It's foolish. Your boss or a coworker says, you want to get lunch? Not without your spouse if you're married, and not without their spouse. Just to go get lunch, and we can talk about work stuff. And you find in that work lunch that there's more talk about other things than work. Okay. Is that foolish or wise? Yeah, it's not inherently wrong. It's just a dumb idea. It's just really foolish. It's not wise. Our life is filled with these kinds of choices. Not things that are inherently right or wrong, but things that when we really take some time to think are really clearly either foolish or wise. And a challenge in front of us is to ask the question, am I being wise? Is this, fill in the blank, a wise thing to do? We watched the life of four individuals. You know what I really appreciate about this? There is, in many cases, redemption. We at times choose the foolish path. But God is a God of grace, and God is a God of forgiveness. And we're about ready to partake of these elements here, and this reminds us of the forgiveness of God, the grace of God. This screams and shouts to us, you do not need to be stuck in the area of sin. You can find recovery. You can find forgiveness. You can find victory. You don't need to be stuck in this chair, and you don't need to be stuck in a life that is trashed because of sin. But you can choose wisdom and righteousness. And it's centered all in Jesus. And so this morning I want to extend a couple of invitations. I don't know where you are in your journey today, but I would like to suggest to you that a relationship with Jesus is what you need. I don't know what you're wrestling with, but I want to encourage you today to hold on to Jesus, to reach out to Jesus. Because if you're wrestling with issues in this chair or in the mocker chair, and your life is being sidetracked and derailed, Jesus has the answer and he has a solution. And I want to encourage you to hold on to Jesus and reach out to him. You might be here today and you're a Christian and you have been wrestling with things in your life and you have been sitting in this chair. And you've been making some life choice and some life decisions that is putting you in a chair of folly. And you're making choices that are starting to damage and destroy your life. I want to encourage you this morning to take some time to repent. I want to encourage you this morning to have a conversation with God about those things and say, God, I want to sit in the wisdom chair. I want to be wise, God, today about the choices I make. And have a conversation with God. After the service today, I'm going to be up front for a few minutes, and Rich is going to be up front in a few minutes, and you're going to get to see the elders as they will help with distributing the elements of communion. And I would invite you to pull one of us aside and say, hey, can we talk for a minute? If there's things that God is doing in your life you need to have a conversation with God about and you want someone to come alongside in your journey. And ladies, if you come and say that to us, we'll send you over to our wives. But we want to encourage you to walk in a journey that helps you to know victory in your life. I want you to be able to look from this point forward in the rearview mirror of your life and to say, man, I'm really glad I have chosen to pursue wisdom. I am glad I have chosen to pursue Jesus instead of pursuing these other things. I'm going to ask the guys to come forward and we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to hand out the elements, but I'm going to encourage you as we are doing that and as you're partaking to have a conversation with God, a real conversation with God about the things we've been talking about this morning. Let's pray. Guys, we can gather right here. Father, I would ask this morning that as we prepare to partake, that Father, you would work in our hearts lean in on our thinking. And Father, draw us to yourself. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.